about religion that we have to remember when we're talking about that makes it such a hot topic issue is because we're talking about law. Who gets to be God? Who gets to be God's deputies? Who is the Most High? Who is the divine authority? It's all about the claim to the Most High. The only way that somebody can be higher than us is if we give away our power. Because there's nobody. We're all equal. But we're not equal in our knowledge. So ultimately, I think it does have to be a hierarchy, but it has to be a cooperative hierarchy, like a bee colony. It's about what our value system is, what we care about.
Hello, Hive Mind. Today is October 11th, 2021. I'm your host, Nate Kapp. Welcome to the 49th Cubbyhole Podcast, where important topics are unveiled, discussed, and tested. Our website is cubbyhole.com. That's cubbyhole.com. You can listen to this show on Spotify, Apple, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and much more. On the last show, Brandon was back on talking about the pros and cons of the Seed 4 growth event, as well as sharing some important allegorical films to break down here on future shows, which I'm really looking forward to. He also announced he'll be coming out with his Matrix Trilogy Deciphered presentation really soon, and then maybe come on the show and break it down with me a little further. So we'll see. That'll be really fun if we can do that. His breakdowns are always super top-notch. So on the last show, I introduced some important foundational allegories that I'll be breaking down as we move further through and after much review of the occult sciences regarding Freemasonry. So definitely be on the lookout for that. Today we're going to go much further into the sacred science of the entered apprentice, the first degree trestle board. So the spiritual symbolic temple of Solomon, or you, okay? You can call it the Masonic mirror of self. And this really is how we arrive at deeply understanding natural law or nature's law, okay? So I hope everyone has come up for some air and ready to go back in for some more, because it's going to be another packed show full of highly important symbolic breakdowns. And it's very vital that we take the time and look at what I'm sharing in a way that's not totally literal. We have to think literal, yes, but we also have to think literal, symbolical, and allegorical if we are to, you know, see beyond the five senses, the literal part of ourselves. We have to be able to see the forest for the trees. And there will be slides for the show, so please make sure to go back to the podcast section of the Cubbyhole website in order to follow along with what I'm sharing. And, you know, this is about getting a better idea of what I'm presenting. It's important to understand that, you know, just listening really isn't enough for this type of knowledge. We have to be able to observe the symbolism along with the rhetoric in order to get a fuller understanding. So I'm going to cover some of what I shared in episode 47 while adding a little more, okay? Well, it's probably going to be a lot more, but it's about adding a finer point to what I was saying before we go further in the trestle board. And before we ascend up the ladder. And if you're just now listening to this show for the first time, I definitely recommend going back to show 46 to begin there. But, you know, really, you should be all caught up on these shows to really truly have the right information to proceed into the later episodes, including this one. Okay. So I'm going to start by expanding on the philosophy and symbolism regarding Freemasonry. And before I forget, I really don't give enough reference on here. And like I've said, if anyone has any questions, please feel free to email me at cubbyhole@mail.com. That's cubbyhole@mail.com. and it, you know, with any question that you have regarding these topics. So please don't be shy. I will do my best to get back to you as soon as possible. But a few important references I just want to throw out there regarding Freemasonry is Manly Palmer Hall, Albert Mackey, Charles Webster Leadbeater, and Albert Churchward. Those are a few really important ones regarding these topics. Also, I'll be adding more references to these shows and past shows, hopefully sometime in the near future, and I'll definitely announce that in future shows, so just be on the lookout for that. Okay, so let's begin. It's important to realize Freemasonry is a science of the soul. It's esoteric, okay? It's a universal expression of the divine wisdom. And in the highest sense, Freemasonry isn't historical or archaeological. It's a divine symbolic language perpetuating sacred mysteries through certain concrete symbols of the ancient world. It's not a material thing. It's not tangible, okay? And just in case anyone is wondering why corruption in the Masonic fraternities isn't being covered on here, is because, at least I believe, it's really just a waste of time at this point in time anyway, okay? And we have to understand that in the modern era, the science of Freemasonry is being buried by ignorance. You know, it's being buried by the ignorance of people who just, you know, throw out the science of Freemasonry along with all the dirty lodge water. Okay, throwing the whole baby out with the bathwater. And that's just, you know, it's really unacceptable. And it's really nothing different than, you know, the Library of Alexandria being flipped upside down. And like I said before, it's the equivalent to, you know, it really is the equivalent to a witch hunt. It's about understanding that if anyone is demonizing Freemasonry, the actual science, is because they haven't done enough research. It's that simple. You know, either through willful ignorance or nescience. And I definitely say in this day and age, it's way more of the willful ignorance. If you fear something, look further into it. And there you'll find the truth. Okay? That's really important to keep in mind. Anything that's scary, anything that, you know, maybe you might be on a witch hunt for, you might want to look a little further into it. Maybe you find that it's not what you think it is. And, you know, maybe in the future, after we've gone through all the important work on this topic, maybe we'll share information regarding lodge corruption sometime then, okay? I mean, it's not that I don't think it's important to share that type of information. It's just, it's far from the importance of understanding the symbolism and philosophy and science of the mystery tradition known as Freemasonry. To study Freemasonry without realizing its beauty or its depth, you know, and the spiritual faculty of its philosophy, we really can't ever gain much permanence from it. We can't really understand how it's the spiritual key to the unfoldment of our soul, of man's soul, okay? Manly Palmer Hall said, "Today, it seems that the plan is lost. However, for in the majority of cases, Freemasonry is no longer an operative art, but is merely a speculative idea until each brother, reading the mystery of his symbols and pondering over the beautiful allegories unfolded in his ritual, realizes that he himself contains the keys and the plans so long lost to his craft, and that if he would ever learn Freemasonry, he must unlock its doors with the key wrought from the base metals of his own being. And how I would translate this is that the answer we are in search for is within us. And if we, and I think a lot of people understand that to a degree. And, you know, if we cross paths with Freemasonry, we have to, you know, piece its craft back together in order to remember ourselves. You know, we have to piece all this science back together in order to have the pieces to combine back together, to remember who we truly are. We must carve out the truth from within with the tools, you know, the geometer's tools, with the knowledge we gather regarding Freemasonry. It's about starting from the floor of our house, you know, the floor of our temple, the pavement of the lodge, and then, you know, working our way through and up into the higher echelons spiritually. We can't get caught up in the trivial things. We have to chisel away the dogma that hides our true beauty, that hides the truth, right? We have to understand that all the great mystery schools have hierarchies upon the spiritual planes of nature, which are expressing themselves in this world through creeds and organizations. And yet it is up to the true student to rise out from these limitations or from the exoteric body upward spiritually until there's, you know, an alignment with the esoteric class. So it's, you know, it's from the exo, the outer body, you know, and then going upward, you know, from the material, we're going upward spiritually until we align with the inner, the esoteric, the non-physical lodge within nature, okay? So being aligned with nature or natural law, and then completely shedding any belief in man's authority, right? It's about realizing creeds or religions or religious institutions can't bind a truth seeker to truth because it's impossible. Institutions can't bind us to truth. We can't count on someone else to do our work for us. And I also look at truth as, you know, the one true religion, that which binds us back to source. So we come to, we discover Freemasonry, esoteric Freemasonry, in order to be able to lift the veil that covers our eyes from seeing or becoming conscious of the unseen realm, the occult. Okay, the realm of the natural laws within creation. And the symbols that we learn are the pieces of the gateway in which we discover more and more of, you know, what the master builder is of our own temple. And this is also where we find our true appreciation for the creative or generative principle, the creator. The creator principle, you know, the principle that encompasses all hermetic principles. And none of this is something that anyone can grant you. No one can do your work. Like I said, no one can do your work for you. No one can do our work for us. A true student of Freemasonry will realize that some kind of granted degree within any institutional lodge system doesn't, you know, make them a true Mason. A true Mason is not appointed by anyone. Their evolution comes from the spiritual lodge of life. It's not a physical lodge. It's not a lodge built by anyone in the physical realm. It's not about waiting on some authority figure to, you know, hand you your degree and, you know, pat you on the head and tell you, you did it, buddy. It's an earned degree in nature. It's nature's organic, intelligent measurement of human behavior. It's about realizing our sovereignty and unfoldment and development of the soul. And, you know, and it's also important to remember to scrap any idea that someone else can instruct anyone else in the sacred mysteries, or that, you know, just because someone is part of some kind of organization that somehow it gives them any real improvement. That's not how it works. You know, the realization that the student must make is understanding that their obligation is to build and evolve the sacred teachings in their own being. And it's really nothing but their own purified being that can truly unlock the door to the sealed libraries of human consciousness. That is really, really important to understand. On show 47, I ended at the foot of the ladder on the first degree trestle board. And I'm going to kind of catch us up to that point, along with more important thorough breakdowns with a finer point of the symbolism, okay? So if you're on your computer and on the Cubbyhole website, please go to the Cubbyhole podcast section and down to show number 49, and you'll see the slides for today's show if you haven't already done so, okay? Just try to follow along with those slides, because there is so much, and you know, that's another thing I'm trying to work on, is making sure that I am letting people know when I'm going to be reading a slide. So I will try to be better at that as well. And this is such a big learning curve for me, just learning how to do all this stuff. You know, it's like learning all the information and then learning how to present it. It's, you know, you got to start somewhere, and I'm really glad that I have. It's really been an interesting journey so far, and I'm really hoping that you guys are inspired by all that I've shared so far. So looking at the slide of tenors and vehicles, now we started off by talking about allegory and how it can be understood by something as simple as the metaphorical tenors and vehicles, the idea that a vehicle or character as an aspect of the self will describe the tenor, which is the hidden idea or concept, okay? The underlying idea, that's what it is. So if we pay attention to a particular character and their behavior and relation to the story, there's a potential that we may unveil a hidden meaning, aka the tenor. The tenor is the hidden and discoverable idea behind or in the vehicle. And then the vehicle embodies the tenor as the analogy, right? So the idea of allegory is really important when we dive into Freemasonry, especially esoteric Freemasonry. So looking at the Freemasonry definition, remember it's about the true simple definition, which is a system of morality veiled in allegory and illustrated by symbols. Okay, so the student has to come to realize Freemasonry is a science or system of morality, right? Like it's a tenor. So tenor would be morality, which is veiled, which is hidden, the hidden meaning in allegory or within the vehicle, and the vehicle also being the illustrated symbols. And an example would be like, you know, the illustration of the first degree trestle board, which is the allegory of morality illustrated by symbols. Okay? So let me explain that again, just because I feel this is really important. And if you're looking at the Freemasonry definition, I'm trying to help us understand something simple and powerful you know, that this definition is really truly saying. Okay, so, and it's not limited to what I'm saying either. There's a lot more to it, but I'm just trying to really get to the simplicity of it. So we have to come to the realization that Freemasonry is a science or system of morality, you know, the tenor. So tenor would be morality, which is veiled, which is hidden, the hidden meaning. You know, natural law is hidden in reality, okay? In allegory or within the vehicle. And the vehicle also being the illustrated visible symbols and stories, okay? And the example would be the illustration of the first degree trestle board, the entered apprentice, which is the allegory of morality illustrated by symbols, right? That's what it is. Looking at the entered apprentice trestle board, that's what it is. It's like a moral and spiritual directional map expressed in symbols to help the student understand consciousness, moral law, and nature, aka the occult or unseen realm. And as we begin from the bottom and move our way up, we start out by seeing the Masonic pavement, aka the checkerboard floor, which symbolizes base consciousness. And when we consider the entire room of the first degree trestle board, this lodge is likened to a temple of humanity, okay? And the black squares represent ignorance, and the white squares represent light and truth. But the arrangement of the checkerboard pattern can symbolize humanity in confusion, right? Not knowing the difference between truth and falsehoods, or right from wrong. It's the place in which humanity is kept on the floor as a pawn in a real life chess game, you know, being played by those who hold a knowledge power differential of knowledge over them, right? Yet in this image of information, this knowledge here, it comes down to a choice of whether one wants to be played or not, right? So now looking at the level, the tool resting upright on the left masculine pillar, this tool represents that all men, no matter the social status or rank, all men are equal under natural law, whether on this planet, another planet, or, you know, at the end of the universe. All humans are bound to and equal under natural law. And this is erected through the sacred masculine pillar. And it's about keeping our actions balanced. It's about keeping our actions aligned with natural law. And over to the right side of the trestle board, looking at the plumb roll resting on the sacred feminine pillar, this narrow board with a plumb line suspended from its top symbolizes rectitude or morality or morally correct behavior and straightness. It's about keeping our emotions upright through our behavior. And then on over to the square resting on and pointing up on the middle pillar, the positive way to see this is it represents overcoming base desires, okay? Coming out of base or beast consciousness and beginning to, you know, consciously align to moral law. Going to the, you know, the right or eastern direction. It's about understanding right action can only be deeply understood by ascending up the ladder. And I'll be covering way more regarding the square when I get into the G square symbol in the next few shows. So definitely look out for that. But the important part to recognize here is the compass is darkened and on the floor underneath the square, which means the spirit, the compass, the spirit is the compass, is still dormant, and materialism and ignorance and darkness still rule the mind to a degree, okay? On back to the ashlars, the two cube-shaped stones left and right of the bottom of the middle pillar. The rough ashlar on the left symbolizes the untrained mind, okay? The state of darkness and natural ignorance. You know, but gradually through deep Masonic studies, the mind will become polished and perfected. And then it can be tested by the square and the plum roll, and also the level for accuracy. So the polished ashlar has to be found with accuracy. And the smooth, polished ashlar represents the condition achieved by the fellow craft. It symbolizes the young soul, as does this whole degree. It's about polishing our nature in this life and every life that follows. It's about coming up from our ignorant state where you know, our natural ignorance, where we're in the dark, we're young, and then polishing ourselves to become our better versions of ourselves, okay? Now I'm going to go ahead and take a short music break, and we will see you on the other side with more knowledge regarding the Entered Apprentice. All right, let's get back to it. That was just a little sketch that I did for a presentation a while back. I figured I'd just share it here just to give a little break, little time to ponder on what I just shared. So I hope everyone is following along with the slides and hopefully understanding what I'm presenting. I know this information can be very difficult for many, especially the uninitiated or the beginners. It's very abstract to the uninitiated for sure. And please, again, if you have any questions, please feel free to email me at cubbyhole@mail.com. And I'll try to make sure that I get back to you as quickly and thoroughly as possible. I'm really trying to be as clear with what I'm breaking down on this show, because I know it's a lot, and I know there's a lot that I may leave out, or maybe I'm just not being, you know, as thorough as I could be. But you got to remember, with this type of information, I mean, there's so much that goes into it. It's unbelievable how much is in this trestle board or in these tracing boards. And I'm going to get into what I mean by that too, but it's definitely going to be on you to go look into this further and do your own research further if you really truly want to have an enlightening experience. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read a quote from the 33rd degree Freemason Charles Webster Leadbeater. And he said, "The business of the entered apprentice is to take himself in hand morally and conquer the physical body so that its impulses will not stand in the way of his rapid progress or evolution. The entered apprentice of Egypt used to remain 7 years in the first degree because he had to fit himself thoroughly for the illumination which could come only to one who had his emotions under control and sufficiently purified to reflect and serve the higher self. That being done, The smooth ashlar was to be perfected until it was ready to be used as a living stone in the temple of the grand architect of the universe, fit to form part of the heavenly man of the future. I really, really like that quote. And, you know, this is about understanding the pyramids, okay? That's the way I see it. And, you know, the pyramids are a direct corresponding temple to the consciousness of human beings. That's why understanding this knowledge helps build a moral world, all right? So, you know, smoothing out our ashlars, you know, becoming more conscious of the mysteries, my stories, makes for a perfect fit for a sturdy lodge, universally and individually, okay? See, because it's about understanding the law of freedom, you know? The more moral a society becomes, the more free that society becomes, okay? So the more perfected and smoothed out we get, you know, the more perfected and smoothed out we get our ashlars, get our asses together, the better and stronger our temple will be for future generations, you know, progeny and posterity. And we use the 24-inch gauge to polish our ashlar by where our time and attention goes, right? That the hours in the day are not to be spent carelessly or selfishly. They should be measured and divided into three parts. Three because three is the spiritual number. So 8 hours of labor, 8 hours of sleep and refreshments, and 8 hours devoted to the Creator and studying the self. You got to gauge your time wisely. See, you got to 24-inch gauge your time wisely, gauging with care, caring where our time and the day is spent. And then we use the tool known as the common gavel. And it's this tool is for breaking off the corners of the rough ashlar. It's about bettering the builder's use to warn us of the duty of disposing our minds and consciences of all the vices and impurities of life by fitting and adjusting our spiritual bodies as living stones for the building that's not made with our actual physical hands. It's about purifying the heart and aligning to the common inherent law of nature. It's about triangle on top of the square, as the ancient Egyptians would say, the triangle being the spiritual and the square being the material. And we have to overcome the material. We have to put the triangle on top of the square. And that's about building a sturdy home, a sturdy temple. And then we see a board with a drawing of a layout of this temple, and it's a rough sketch of a tracing board, you know, the beginning stages of this temple, of this lodge. It's where the student is taking notes and piecing the puzzle of life together. It's a floor cloth or a floor plan. It's a framework on a board or canvas, you know, with emblems of, you know, any particular degree that are inscribed. You know, and there's been some debate on the word for these boards, called either a trestle board or a tracing board. And what I've come to learn is the first degree board is, in fact, a trestle board, correctly called a trestle board, okay? But all of these boards I'm sharing, you know, first, second, third degree, they're all tracing boards. So you can call it a trestle board or a tracing board. But either way, it's about understanding that we are tracing ourselves back to our origins. You know, this is an outline, and you know, we're tracing down our aspects of consciousness in order to become conscious of ourselves in the now, to understand why our condition is the way that it is. We're tracing our being in a timeless manner. We're going back in time, and we are tracing ourselves to that time period. You know, so to make this trestle board or this tracing board is to trace our mind in order to understand the symbols of the ancient past. Okay? So once we have traced ourselves out, we are tracing ourselves back and then understanding what happened in the past in order to understand what is happening in the now. I know that's a lot to, you know, really chew on, but it is very, very important, and it's not easy to say, but it's very, very, very important to really, really ruminate on that, okay? So the circle with a dot that we see laying on the floor, and this represents the beginning stages of alchemy and the sun, okay? Now, it is a solar symbol, and it's an alchemical symbol. It's not only that. So being on the floor at the foot of the ladder means starting in base metals, base consciousness, you know, darkness and ignorance, which is at the opposite side of the ladder, where the gold, the sun, the light, and enlightenment reside, right? So we're starting, the circle on the floor is about starting in base consciousness, in base metals. And this symbol is highly important if we truly want to understand the higher degrees of the universe, the higher degrees of the self. Okay? This symbol is not just, it's also not just a symbol that is two-dimensional either. This is a three-dimensional symbol, but you know, that's something that we actually talked about on the first show, but we will definitely be getting further into that as we move forward. The biblical book that we see with the square and compass on top at the foot of the ladder, this is known as the three greater lights or three pieces of furniture of the lodge. And as I mentioned before, this is about beginning to learn to read symbolically and literally, and knowing how to decipher truth from falsehoods. It's about comparative religion, learning the, you know, the foundations and the similarities of all major doctrines. The book equals knowledge, which is at the foot of the ladder, what's known as Jacob's ladder. And this symbolically means having the knowledge, you know, the understanding and the wisdom to begin to go forth on the journey and unlock the mysteries. We have to, you know, we have to have a strong foundation before going up that ladder. We have to have a strong foundation in our knowledge before we can understand how to go up that ladder, really. So it's important to understand that this ladder, the name of this ladder is Jacob's ladder, which is also part of understanding this pillar. But this is a symbol of ascension, and it's also about descending, you know, raising to higher spiritual planes and being able to descend back down. Now keep in mind about the directions on the trestle board, the NEWS, or north, east, west, and south. So the bottom of Jacob's ladder is pointed down towards the W. And remember, I said W at the bottom underneath the floor is about the material world. It's symbolic of the physical realm, right? W is west, which is about westing. And westing is about living in materialism, or going, you know, in the direction away from evolution or away from light. It's about ignorance to natural law and believing moral relativism. And I would postulate that the silent W in the word wrong is what the W means in the bottom of this board as well, because it's about going in the wrong direction. So W being in the wrong direction, and then East would be going in the right direction. And that'll make a little bit more sense maybe in the next show when I get into turning this board on its right side. Okay, so looking at this ladder, Jacob's ladder, we see it starts from the three greater lights. So the book, you know, the square and the compass, and then its direction south, southwest. This direction is the darkest part of this trestle board and symbolizes ignorance, base consciousness, and it symbolizes materialism. And the rest of the ladder goes northeast. It goes up northeast and fades in towards the sun. It fades into the sun symbol, which indicates the direction of enlightenment. And among many things, we have to understand that this ladder is like, it's like an elevator shaft from the physical, earthly, material world to the spiritual, heavenly realm, okay? And the goal is to bring them together and erect a strong wisdom pillar, the middle pillar with the W at the bottom. But this part, this beginning, will have to take faith in the existence of truth to begin this journey upward. That's what truth requires, faith or belief that it indeed does exist. That's what taking a leap of faith truly means. You know, the student knows that a leap of faith is required to find the truth. Otherwise, it's not worth it. It's not worth going on this journey. But it's pretty amazing, because once you do take that leap of faith, I can only tell you from experience, it has unraveled nothing but truth. Very painful truth, especially, but very beautiful nonetheless. Because it's about unraveling the truth about ourselves. It's about finding out where the dogma is within us. And, you know, once we take that leap of faith, we don't need faith anymore. We already know now that truth does exist. And then we just keep unraveling more and more about ourselves. And that's the point, because we're after truth. And the more we unravel about ourselves, the more truth is revealed. So the three beings on this ladder, they represent the three initiates. And the knowledge of the Kybalion and the three initiates regarding the Hermetic principles, this information, this book, will help us understand this ladder and this trestle board way, way further. You actually can't understand this image without understanding the Hermetic principles. It's not possible. And if you need that knowledge, I highly recommend reading the Kybalion and the Three Initiates. And also, Brandon and I broke down the principles in the, I believe, the middle teens of this series early on, like somewhere between like 13 and 16 or something like that. So the Three Initiates are faith, hope, and charity. So you had to have the faith to, you know, the belief that truth exists. And now you're going to move up the ladder to hope, and then you're going to give back with charity at the top of the ladder, which I'm going to get into. So you have the entered apprentice, the first initiate, you have the fellow craft initiate in the middle, and then you have the master mason or master builder initiate at the top. Or you could also say youth at the bottom, manhood at the in the middle, and then old age at the top. So the first initiate is the youth, the entered apprentice. This being, as are all these beings, are aspects of consciousness. So, as I said, what we really need is faith to go up that ladder. And that feminine being is sitting at the lower rung with a book in her lap. She's feminine and in yellow, which symbolizes cradling the light, the knowledge, you know, beginning to find our care in search for truth. So she represents the beginning stage of, you know, caring enough to believe that truth does exist. And, you know, and then obviously that's where we start to, you know, look for our care. So beginning to come out of our tomb to ascend spiritually up the ladder, right? And, you know, the word entered has some green language as well in this case. So entered is phonetically entered sounds like the word interred. So I-N-T-E-R-R-E-D. It's not spelled the same, but it phonetically sounds the same. And this means place in a grave or tomb. And what are we doing? We're coming out of our tomb. We're going up the ladder. We're coming out of our sleep state, our dead state, if you want to call it that. This is where we rise out of our tomb or sleeping body or entered. Okay, we're rising, we're raising. We're starting to see the rays because we're starting to care. We're starting to ascend. We're starting to do the work that is needed to go up that ladder to find ourselves, to find our higher self, our betterment, our, you know, balance. This is where we begin to awaken the spirit within us. Okay? So as we begin to awaken and go further in our pursuit, the journey starts to ask or test us by seeing how much we care. And that's what the middle initiate represents. And this middle or fellow craft initiate is dressed in green. And green is a very powerful color to, you know, really deeply understand. This color represents many things that we really, really need to pay very close attention to, including the resurrection of moral alignment and the visible nature and the middle frequency color of the visible spectrum, right? Because if you look at the visible spectrum of color, you'll see that green is always in the middle. And green is the color of the healthiest foods to eat, right? This initiate is also wearing a sash, the garment, which is the shape of a G, a very important letter in Freemasonry that I'll be breaking down in the next few shows. But the sash is symbolizing commencement or graduation to a higher rung on the ladder, right? It's about the beginning of finding our true care, that we're finding our care to go up this ladder. And that's what this initiate truly represents, true care. And care is associated with the heart, which makes another important connection because the heart chakra, the Anahata heart chakra, is green, right? So if we look closely, we'll see that this initiate is holding an anchor, resting on the middle rung, which is symbolic of being anchored in the heart. So no matter what direction we go on this ladder, whether it be up in the clouds spiritually, the sun, the moon, or the stars, or you know, down on the pavement physically, where more work may need to be done, right? More groundwork. And the anchor is a symbol of hope. And whether anyone agrees or not, I believe that the anchor is also the ankh with the barge connected to its bottom. And the ankh being the symbol of life, and the barge being the wide U-shaped symbol, which is the womb of the universe. So womb of life, right? And in life, the physical is always pulling on what? The spiritual. And the spiritual is always pulling on the physical. And this gives us the midpoint, right? And then the initiate is lifting her right hand, pointing up the ladder, which indicates, you know, towards truth or the way of the truth and fidelity or loyalty. And then right behind her is a key. And key is always very important in symbology. And this key is hanging by a thread, by the thread of life. And this is about care coming close to being abandoned forever. In the mysteries of the ancient Egyptian archetypal goddess Isis, the key was a hieroglyphic of the opening or closing of the heart and conscience in the kingdom of death for trial and judgment. So to care is to not lie. To not lie in our speech, as well as in, you know, when we look at it in green language, don't allow the key to lie on the pavement of the house. We can't abandon the key or care if we wish to move forward in the evolution of consciousness. So the key is so important. Why? Because it's care. Care is it can be lost very, very easily. That's why it's on a thread. So we have to be very careful. Now, the third initiate that we see sitting at the top of the ladder, we see this female being, and she's sitting with a few naked children. And my take on this is that once the student masters the self, there is an obligation to preserve this knowledge for progeny and posterity, right? It's about charity, giving back. And the being is not only caring for the future young, but is also kind of, you know, shielding them from the harsh sun rays of truth as the children are, you know, naked as a symbol of innocence while young, especially from birth to age 6. That's why we preserve this knowledge for when they're ready to receive it, right? And this is about the master mason or master builder, which I'll be getting more into as we move through these shows. So to build a strong temple in the name of truth is to automatically build a strong future for our young, for, you know, for progeny, for posterity, right? These three initiates can also be summed up as thought, emotion, and action. This is part of understanding consciousness. So entered apprentice being thought, the middle fellow craft initiate being emotion, and the master mason, the master builder initiate being action, right? Now, we're coming up on the hour mark, so I think I'm just going to cover just a little bit more and with the pillars, and then I will put a finer point on them and add more information when we get to the next show. But I just wanted to make like a little brief overview of the two pillars especially. So looking at the three columns, this is about understanding or being able to see dualistically in order to understand unity or the one. So in other words, we can't understand the one without understanding the two. We can't understand the middle pillar without understanding the left and the right pillar, okay? And when we imagine the yin-yang symbol, this symbol is equivalent to one or the whole, right? And we can't understand dark without light and light without dark, right? So we can't understand the one or the whole yin-yang symbol without understanding light and dark, or yin and yang, right? So we must learn each pillar in degrees to begin to erect the middle pillar, the one. These two pillars are opposing forces that we find in nature, right? So let's begin with the two pillars, the left and the right pillar. So starting on the left archetypal pillar with the sun above, we see what's called the pillar of Jachin, spelled J-A-C-H-I-N. And it's also pronounced Yakayin, you know, so you can say Yakayin or Jachin. And this column represents strength, serenity, stableness, firmness, and action. So the letter S representing strength and serenity and also stableness. This is the sacred masculine pillar. This pillar is the white or light pillar. It is the polar opposite of the pillar that we see on the right. And this pillar holds the keys to understanding our left-brained aspects of consciousness. And a few of these aspects that are very important to note is intellect, logic, science, and analytical thought. And this pillar can also be related to the yang half of the yin-yang symbol, okay? The white part of the yin-yang symbol. So it's the positive pillar, right? And another related ancient symbol to keep in mind is the upward pointing blade, which is an equilateral triangle, which also holds the fire element symbol, okay? Now, it's important that we recognize that the left and right pillar represent the equilibrium of two opposing forces. So what would be the opposing of masculine or the left brain or positive or light? What's the opposite of that? Well, it's the, if you look on the right, the pillar on the right is referred to as the pillar of Boaz. B-O-A-Z, also pronounced Baz. And the B at the bottom of the pillar also represents beauty. This pillar corresponds to the sacred feminine energy of the universe. It is the dark pillar. It is the negative aspect of the universe. And as Brandon and I have said many times, it's not negative in a bad way. It's about negative in the way that, you know, a car battery needs a negative and positive charge in order to work or start. You know, negative as in receptive to light. And this pillar corresponds to right-brained aspects of consciousness, which are intuition, creativeness, compassion, and, you know, big picture thinking. This would be the yin feminine energy of the yin-yang symbol, right? This is the black part of the yin-yang symbol. And this sacred energy is symbolic of the chalice, which is the inverted triangle, okay? And this is the elemental water symbol as well. Very, very important. So there's so much more that I'm going to go further and explain on the next show. And it is vital that if anyone is studying this information for the first time here, to make sure to follow up on the next show where I'll be explaining the middle pillar, aka Jacob's ladder, and the sun, the eye, and the moon symbols, as well as the carpet and the tassels and the directions. Very, very important symbols. And of course, there's so much more to this that it's just not going to be covered here, because I mean, you can pull out so much information from these symbols. but I'm going to cover as much as I can. And we have to, you know, we have to see how this all ties together symbolically in order to experience how it reflects ourselves to understand how truly important this sacred science is to our sovereignty, to our freedom. If we really take this serious, we'll be able to see for ourselves the power of our imagination and the symbolism. We'll be able to see the power of morality and, you know, logic, natural law. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on. There's so much importance to this. And I feel like a lot of people just overlook it, but it really takes overcoming our ego and really paying attention to the patterns and seeing how everything relates. And as with most occult symbols, the twin pillars conceal multiple layers of meaning. They stand for the greatest spiritual principles that are the basis of all life, really. So, okay, guys, I think I'm going to go ahead and end it there. We've got a lot more to cover in the next shows. So I know this can be a lot to take in at first, but it really only gets more interesting from here on out. And I hope it resonates well with all of you. And, you know, I'm doing my best to present it in a way that's easy for people to, you know, take in. I'm really trying to be as thorough and simple as I can without overdoing it. But this type of knowledge is so crucial for understanding ourselves and understanding purpose. You know, it's a discovery that helps us understand what being human really is all about. And it's beautiful. It's amazing. And it blows my mind that this kind of information really exists. You know, I never thought that I would ever encounter such beautiful knowledge that, you know, because I've always been in search for myself. I've always asked who I am and why am I here and what this is all about. And I really am stoked that I came across this knowledge because it really has put everything in perspective in ways that I never thought could ever be. So, if anyone is interested, more shows, presentations, and news can be found at cubbyhole.com. That's CubbyHole.com. Also, please definitely make sure to not miss the next shows where I'll be going further into esoteric Freemasonry. It's definitely not a good idea to get this far and not go any further, because, you know, a little bit of knowledge can be very, very dangerous. And if you have any questions regarding the topics for these shows, please email me at cubbyhole@mail.com. Also, any donations are always appreciated here at the Cubbyhole, as anything that's given goes directly to this website. And, you know, all you got to do is just hit the donation button on the top of the website. And it's set up pretty easy to navigate from there. And thanks so much to those who have donated so far. I'm very, very thankful for that. Okay, I'm your host, Nate Kapp. Thank you for listening. And keep in mind to do no harm, defend truth, and keep transcending dogma.